Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 131 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Caliph95.
Hello.
Ooh, we have someone new today.
Second time on the podcast.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's been a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, dude.
Welcome back.
I missed you.
Happy to be.
I'm sorry, I forgot you.
It's all right. It's been like a year, I think.
I was shocked when Zonic recently told me, yeah, it's been like since the beginning of the year since I was on. It's like, what? There's no way I didn't get Zonic on for that long. It was probably Pop Team Epic.
Yeah, it was Pop Team Epic.
Anyway, there's not a whole lot of news except that Sword Art Online is back on its bullshit.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, they censored the censored version. And you know the really weird part? It's somehow worse than that one scene from The Eclipse.
Yep.
They managed to outdo The Eclipse from Berserk. And I'm not talking like the, you know, adapted form of it where, you know, they tone it down a little bit. I'm talking the goddamn manga version of it.
Yeah. I will say, out of curiosity, I watched a video that was like a side-by-side comparison
of
the scene. After watching that clip, I immediately removed it from my YouTube history.
Yeah.
Out of fear that someone would one day see that I had watched that video. It was that bad.
Yeah. I'm watching this video and I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is exactly the kind of thing adaptations sort of like change all the goddamn time. Like, if you've ever seen Stephen King's It, there's a really famous scene from the book that every time it's adapted, they cut it out every single time.
What do you mean we can't do Child Orgy?
Yeah, I mean, they basically cut it out. Like, it was during that.
Because any reasonable person would do that.
But the authorial intent!
Yeah.
Didn't have authorial intent when he wrote that scene. He was high on cocaine.
Yeah,
he didn't have an editor there to tell him no, so, you know, he did it. And apparently, he looks back, he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that one.
Did they ever release a version of It without that?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
I don't see it.
To go along with what you're saying, though, apparently the author of SAO has said about the same thing about this scene, where he's like, yeah, that was from an earlier time when that kind of motivation was popular in these kind of books, and I kind of wish I hadn't written it or whatever, but yet they still adapt it for the anime.
You are definitely on the production committee.
You can tell them no. You can tell them, oh, instead of this, just do an attempted murder.
Yeah.
You know, have the guy with a knife and have him, like, lick the knife like, oh, I'm going to cut you up real good.
As terrible as it is, like, even just the idea of it isn't so bad as what they, like, animate.
Yeah.
Like, they could have given you a sense that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But they just straight up do it.
Oh yeah. It's like you remember that scene from SAO2 either one of them and you're sort of watching, you're like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, they somehow outdid themselves
time. Way worse than what they aired on Toonami as far as the like creepy.
Yeah. I'm just wondering when we get this, because we are actually going to get this. We are going to get this.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about this, because, like, does this pretty much, like, make it possible that it will air? And I think it still could air, because I think they could cut this scene out or down a ton. Because
they
kind of did
Kill a Kill. They
I was going to say, yes. Kill a Kill, the famous scene from that. So, yeah, I guess that's similar enough that, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever censored version is on Crunchyroll.
Well, I mean, the censored version on Crunchyroll is the censored version of the censored version that they showed on TV in Japan. So now I'm kind of like, wait, if the one on Japan was the censored version, what the hell does the Blu-ray version look like?
Without going too much into it, it's weird when you watch the clip, like there's black bars and black shadowy stuff in the Japanese version that isn't in the fun, like isn't in the Crunchyroll version.
Right.
But then like there are scenes, but yeah, but then there's scenes in the Japanese version that just are not in the American version. It's weird.
I mean, the American version cuts out a lot of the bad stuff and they crop the scenes so it doesn't quite look as bad. Like, you could tell that the guys bringing it over were like, yeah, no, what the hell were these morons thinking? But I'm just like, that's the Japanese version we saw was the censored version. I'm like, tell me there's not an uncensored Blu-ray version out there somewhere. Like, I'm just going to jump off a building.
Well, it looks like I have to buy the Blu-ray for research.
Oh my god. What were they thinking?
They weren't. What they were thinking was, we can maybe get away with this.
That actually airs on television.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
At like 2 o'clock in the morning, but.
Well, it would have to air at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's a shame. I mean, like. Not that I'm a defender of Sword Art Online or anything, but like as well a produced show as that typically is, animation wise and music wise, and you know, all it's just like somebody should have just stepped forward and said, "No, don't do this scene."
That never happens. Most of the time, they just make it even worse.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, the author is like, "Yeah, I shouldn't have done that," and he feels bad for the voice actresses because they had to do those scenes. I'm like, if you feel bad, then step up and, you know, say to change the damn scene. Like, don't make them, you know, do it. Like, you have that power. It's your license thing. I don't know his licensing deal or whatever, but I'm sure if he put his foot down, you know.
Yeah, maybe they think it's edgy.
I don't know. It's super edgy.
I said it's basically his version of... Man, I suddenly started forgetting the name of the JoJo author.
Araki.
Araki, yeah. It's basically his version of animal violence. Like, oh, villain's a bad guy, look at this.
Except worse in every possible way.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. Did someone go missing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Someone went missing.
No!
Well, hopefully he'll reconnect.
Yeah, check your DMs, maybe.
Nah, I've checked everything.
While we're waiting, was there any other notable news this week?
Well, there was one thing I did see that I thought, man, I hope B-Dub saw this. Hint, hint. I saw DeMarco retweeted a tweet from like this anime, you know, aesthetics account or anime art account, and it was just pictures from Made in Abyss.
Oh God.
And I thought, this probably means nothing, but...
DeMarco, why? Don't do this to me.
Oh, he's back.
He's back. Hey, Caleb.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, my internet was acting up.
No problem.
That's fine.
It's all right. Oh, God. Thank God I missed that. I probably would have cried.
Look forward to both of those at the same time next year.
Watch me now. Apparently, there's a documentary about Yu-Gi-Oh! Going around. I couldn't tell you. Oh, it's about the freaking card games thing. That's interesting. Yeah, apparently they keep fucking with how the card game works. And breaking it and then fixing it and then breaking it worse.
I don't really follow Yu-Gi-Oh! At all.
Neither do I. I just wind up going into threads I wouldn't normally go into to make sure nobody's killing each other. you know, as soon as we get off of this, DeMarco's going to announce something, right? Because that's what happened last week.
No. This is not the time to announce anything.
Well, I mean, like, literally, like, right after we finish recording, he's like, oh, hey, check out this announcement.
What was the announcement for?
I actually don't remember.
Was it just a... No, I don't think there was an announcement last
week. No, there was.
What was it?
It was right after we were done recording. Shit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm going to go back and find this, because it was... Maybe it was the week before?
if it was notable, and maybe it was Blade Runner.
It was Blade Runner.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We did?
Yeah, we talked about it on the last episode. Peter Weedy. So it must have happened before.
Oh, you're right. It was the episode before that.
Oh.
Right. Fucking hell. This entire year has just been like one giant week.
Christmas is almost here, B-dubs.
That's impossible.
This next weekend, will be the last new Toonami of this year. Oh, we should mention too, right before we move on to the block, that you're going to be posting in the Reset Era thread people accepting for nominations for our awards show, right?
That's right. Yeah. I don't have all the categories nailed down yet, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's some I want to add, some I'm iffy about, I need to discuss next week, but...
All right.
What do you mean discuss next week?
Like, do you think this would work?
You mean in the forum?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, on the podcast at least, because I may not...
Well, we won't, I guess we will be doing a podcast next week, that's right.
Yeah, because...
It'll be the last one of the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
time. How does it work?
Right, whatever. Anyway, so I hope you... I'm looking forward to it. So I'm curious to see what you're going to come up with. So
for like, I think I'm thinking of adding a best deaf category.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. There were some good ones this year.
I would recommend that when you ask for nominations, particularly when it comes to like best scene or best moment or something like that, that people really pick a scene and not just something in general. But I'll let you decide on that.
I will have more specific rules.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, because last time there were like entire episodes, and it was like...
We could do a best episode category.
That would be kind of hard, but yeah.
It would be interesting, though.
But it's hard to remember the specific episode, but also it's like, I literally want to nominate this episode. There's no weirdness about it.
Yeah, I think best scene or worst scene kind of fills that void for me, but
yeah.
It's your show, so.
Best or it's still best or worst moment. Anyway, want to get to the block?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. My Hero Academia, episode 29, Hero Killer Stain versus UA Students. In this episode, everyone shows up to fight Stain one after the other. He's got Ida. Hooray, Deku's here. Oh no, he's got both of them. Hooray, Todoroki's here. Oh no, he's got all three. Hooray, it's Mineta.
Oh God, help us all.
I don't remember that.
No, that didn't happen.
My dream is that he shows up and dies.
You should be so lucky.
Just the sight of him sends Stain into like super duper Saiyan mode, and he's like, I'm killing everyone.
It probably would send him into a murderous rage.
I think it would too, because like Mineta kind of embodies Stain's whole like philosophy of like heroes using their powers for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know what the most horrifying thing about it is? He would kill the fuck out of Uraraka.
Why do you pick her out in particular?
Money.
Oh, yeah, right, because she's being a hero to like help her parents family. With bills and stuff. I don't know. I think he wouldn't mind that one too much. Like, he'd definitely kill her, but I still think Mineta would, you know, send him into like far beyond any rage mode anyone else could. Because he's like literally the distillation of everything wrong with, you know, Hero Universe.
Yeah, well, to be fair to Mineta, he hasn't really used his powers in a negative way. He's just a terrible person.
That's because he doesn't have the power of invisibility.
No, I can think of ways he could use his powers in terrible ways. I don't want to discuss it.
He's probably not clever enough to come up with those ways.
Well, anyway, this is a good fight.
Yeah, it looked really good too, especially when Todoroki showed up. It started getting really cool. And it's interesting to see Todoroki be the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is basically one of my two favorite arcs in the entire show.
What's the second one?
The second one's coming up.
The camp.
No, right after the camp.
Yeah. Oh.
With All Might and...
Yeah.
All Might and someone.
Yeah.
All Might versus a dude.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, these two are... Like, this is sort of the stretch of the series that I like the best. I'm like, if it stayed at this quality, I would have no problems with anything.
But then the next arc happened.
What came... Oh, yeah. The overhaul thing.
Yeah.
That should be next year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah. We don't actually know that it's going to be, like, in April again.
No, I don't... I mean, it probably is. You know, they like to... They like to put it out at the same kind of time, I think.
Anyway, I think it's funny to point out that Stain is absolutely right with everything he dunks on Ida for.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's what makes him fantastic, is he's got a legitimate point. He's just taken it to this manic insane place.
He's just a dude without a nose and vampire licks.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Voldemort, only Voldemort's got a point for, you know, like, in Harry Potter, Voldemort's full of shit. In MHA, he's got a legitimate gripe here.
Oh, yeah, we did learn, too, his quirk, which is if he tastes your blood, then he can paralyze you.
Right.
Yeah.
How does that work physically?
Who the fuck knows?
I mean, come on. It's like a world where anything can happen, so.
Yeah.
Magical psychic waves that affect your antibodies on your blood.
Yeah, it would probably make more sense if you had to bite the other guy, but, you know, it would sort of make his fighting style, his quirk less mysterious, so, you know, I'm like, alright, he gets a pass.
What else happened in this episode?
Best out of kids and saves Gran Torino. All we get for Endeavor is just him and Gran Torino meeting up.
Right.
He just like, step out of the way, I'm so cool.
He is, though. No, he's not.
No.
Even the citizens know that. I think one of them say something like, why you?
Everything changed for the Nomus when the Fighter Nation attacked.
This is true.
I thought this episode was okay, but like, honestly, it wasn't that good because I just don't remember much about it.
Did you agree with Seda that the dialogue was not good?
Well, I don't know if I wouldn't say it was good. I just felt like it wasn't very memorable. Like, I remember things happening, but it just was kind of going in one ear and out the other. It wasn't super compelling. I guess I was just kind of, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, my feelings on this episode. They were just kind of odd. It wasn't bad, but it just was sort of like, whatever, we get it, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, it's one of those things that it's like, the idea of it's really fantastic, but the execution of it is kind of like...
Yeah, the only thing I really liked or remembered vividly was the sort of Deku and Todoroki team up at the end to save Ida. I really like that. And the whole Ida being like, why are you here? Go away. I don't want you to get hurt. And like, that's fine. But like, I don't know. Outside of that, I don't remember anything else from the episode.
I think that's fair because this arc is very much, you know, weird in that Stain overshadows like literally everyone.
I think he won like some Anime News Network award or something for best villain of 2018 or 2017 or something.
Yeah,
well,
honestly,
that
I wouldn't
probably
be
the Crunchyroll Awards.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Which is like, you know,
it's a popular vote.
Vote.
Also skews towards Crunchyroll titles, I think.
No, no, because Made in Abyss ended up winning Anime of the Year, and that was not on Crunchyroll.
Oh, that's true.
I did like that Crunchyroll last year actually was like, they didn't just limit it to only stuff on Crunchyroll.
Oh, that's right. That's what I was thinking of. Like, the previous awards, they only had their stuff.
Yeah, and it was
but then this year
every,
they fixed
and every
it.
Category was Yuri on Ice.
Yeah.
God, I remember that one.
And after that, they were like,
oh, yeah, we can't do that.
People are stupid.
They are.
And until we can get away with cutting them out entirely, we should have some not stupid people. deciding on some stuff.
Yeah, you mean the stupid people who decided the nominations, or?
I mean, they had the nominations were. I think the nominations were decided by like their crack team of AnnieTubers and AnnieTweeters and AnnieWriters who are also stupid, but not quite as ridiculous as the overall fandom.
Right.
Well, I've never seen your anime, so I won't judge it.
It was fine. It was good. It was good, but come on, people. Anyway, should we talk about Naruto Shitake then?
Shitake.
God.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 229, Eat or Die, Mushrooms from Hell.
The episode from Hell.
In this episode, Mushroom Samba.
Except worse.
Literally just that.
Yep, it's they eat a bunch of mushrooms, and they go crazy.
And then they kill some dudes.
Sounds about right.
Okay, I have a question. Is the guy with the sunglasses a filler character?
No. That's the thing.
Wait, which one?
The ninja that has the sunglasses on the whole time.
That's Ebisu, right?
No. Or it's a different guy.
I thought it was like Konohamaru's team leader or something.
Nope. Really? That guy always wears a full head wrap.
Oh, you're right.
So wait, who is this guy?
Which one is he?
Literally some dude.
But he's been in the show before, though.
All I know is that he's like a extremely background ninja. They maybe said his name once, and now he's here because it's like, we need a sensory-type ninja. That's why he's here.
Well, him aside, there were some other no-name ninjas around, too, in this episode.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of surprised that guy is actually a character existed before this arc.
Yeah, I could have sworn he was like a freaking filler guy. Well, I mean,
he was in the tuning exam somewhere.
You're right. Mm. He might have been.
Yeah, I could see that.
No, the thing that kind of gets me about Naruto is like they come up with these filler characters to have Naruto team up with. Except they've got this huge ass cast of characters that they could use, and nobody does.
Tried that in Naruto.
In filler hell, and nobody liked it because it went on for like 3 years of bullshit.
Well, do we know a character who isn't preoccupied right now?
Okay. Hinata's half dead. Neji's alive.
For now.
That was what I was trying to avoid saying. I was like, he's not dead yet.
Have you noticed he's not in Boruto?
No, he is not. Yeah, he's Neji's not dead yet. I mean, considering what happens to him, this would probably be a good time to sort of bring him back and remind everyone he exists.
Nope. Here's Glasses Dude who totally has a name. Totally.
I mean, they could have brought Ino.
Ha! Ha!
the guy with the dog.
Yeah, sure.
The guy with the bugs. Yeah, no, it's just one of those things. Like, there's plenty of dudes they could have, you know, brought along for this that they didn't because fuck them.
Hey, they got Yamato and Guy.
Who cares? Like, Yamato is... Where the hell is he for the rest of the series, anyway? Like, he vanishes at one point.
Yamato?
Yeah.
Oh, he's stuck in, like, a tree for, like, the entire war arc.
I thought he got kidnapped by Orochimaru before the war arc even started.
He got kidnapped by Kabuto and stuck in a tree.
Right, because Kabuto was trying to do his bullshit. You know,
And also, Anko was there the whole time, I think.
Right, she went to go save him, and then nothing ever came of it.
Yeah, and then it's like, 5 years later.
Yeah, I'm like, that's one of those things I'm like, so wait, we were going to get that arc, and then Kishimoto decided, nah, that's too much effort.
Yep, pretty much.
God, I hate this show. Why do we watch this again?
Because we have to.
This is a valid point.
Caleb, you got any thoughts on Naruto Shippuden?
No.
What's there to say?
This is the only show I ever watched this week.
It was just more stupid pirate crap.
No, you know what was funny? That reminds me of the time that what's his name was in and out the entire podcast. Zonic was in and out the
episode.
And then he comes back just in time for Naruto, and they're like, "So Zonic, what do you think of Naruto?" He's like, "No, I didn't watch that one. Watched everything else."
The only intelligent thing he said the entire episode.
We couldn't understand shit before or after. But that came
Hold
was
on.
Perfectly
it's
clear.
Really important that you know that I don't care.
God, that was amazing.
I did hear, though, since there's nothing else to talk about in this episode, I did hear that the next episode is actually kind of interesting.
It's the Clone Rebellion one.
Yes.
Oh, that actually
I'm really
like
looking forward to this
idea.
One, just out of the principle of it.
So, Naruto makes a bunch of clones.
No, I
haven't seen it, actually. I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm guessing he makes a bunch of clones, and then all the clones are like, the fuck we gotta listen to you for? You suck. I'm better, and then all the other clones are like, no, I'm you, and then
That's what I think is going to happen, and I'm really, really curious to see how they resolve this issue.
I mean, I would assume he'd just cancel the jutsu.
Well, no, I mean, like, they're going to bring up the possibility that clones can have consciousness and self-determination. How are they going to retcon that?
By never bringing it up again.
This is what I expect. Because honestly, that could be a really cool idea that nobody ever did anything with, but instead we're, you know, whatever.
It's ridiculous, though, because, like,
it is.
How many thousands and thousands of clones have died?
Oh, so many clones. Like, he goes through, like, 1,000 clones, you know, a mission. Like, any problem he's got is, like, I'm gonna spam you a bunch of shadow clones.
Every time he uses his
dog.
Every time he uses his special jutsu, it's like genocide.
Yeah. No, and that, like, he's got to screw in a light bulb. Like, how many Narutos does it take? It takes 1 and 30 clones to turn him. You know.
It takes 30 clones to turn the Rasengan.
Exactly.
By the way, I just want to mention too. Every time he does that move, where he has a clone appear and then starts, like, waving his hands over his palm.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, has he not... I mean, he can control, like, the nature chakra bullshit. Like, has he not yet reached the point where he's like, yeah, I can just do this myself. It's fine.
He can definitely
I don't need
do it that way in Boruto, right?
No, I mean, there's literally a... I think it's after this next arc in Naruto, he stops actually having to do that.
Ah, well, good.
Like he can just do it all by himself at that point. He's like, yeah, I figured this out. I'm not going to be stupid forever.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention in MHA that we're fully past the point of Deku breaking his legs every time he uses does anything.
Yeah,
because
he
does
that.
It at like 5%.
Yeah, because now he's just like, oh.
Yeah,
he kind of figured out, like, oh, wait, I can just do my entire body at like 5% and nothing will break. Why am I constantly trying to, you know, do 100% punches when this is so much better?
Yeah. Anyway, we want to talk about other shows. So let's talk about Boruto, the other Naruto. Boruto, Episode 10, The Ghost Incident, The Investigation Begins. In this episode, not sleet, nor wind, nor hail, all of those things will stop Boruto from delivering your mail.
He's not a good mailman.
No.
No.
He's very bad at his job.
Extremely. the mailman from Twilight Princess is just running after him like, I'm going to eat you!
Now that's a mailman that's good at his job. Like, wherever you warp, there's the mailman from Twilight Princess. He just runs up to you like, oh, here's your mail. Okay, bye. And then the guy from Majora's Mask, you know, that dude keeps to a tight schedule.
Yeah, Majora's Mask is like, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't push the A button exactly 10 seconds after I told you. Because you totally have a second accurate clock in your head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, actually, the clock on the bottom is, I think it's 1 minute is 1 second.
Oh.
And then when you slow it down, I think it turns into like 1 minute is 2 seconds or something like that. Or maybe five or whatever. Like I did the math on that ages ago, and that's how I used it to,
anyway,
you know.
Anyway, Boruto.
Yeah. We should probably talk about Boruto.
They're still on this ghost bullshit.
Well, I mean, that's the, you know, thing.
This is the first arc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody said there's only like 2 or 3 episodes left.
Yeah, we're clearly at the end of this.
Yeah.
So they just have to find it and confront it at this point, I assume.
And maybe kill it.
We got to see like some of the other class doing their internships. The whole thing with the mail was that Boruto and Shikadai and Mitsuki wanted to be able to go around the whole town looking for the ghost while doing their job, so they're delivering mail. But then, of course, they half-ass the mail and ends up everybody gets pissed off.
I mean, I'm going to
totally work for Amazon.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I'm kind of liking Boruto better than MHA. Like right now, they're doing kind of similar things, and I'm like, I kind of like this better. That's just me. Hey,
I like Boruto. I wouldn't say I like it more than MHA, but I like
the characters better. I think.
Huh?
Is what I'm saying. The guys in MHA are kind of boring compared to this. Everyone's such a good boy. You know, like Deku hardly ever does anything wrong. Boruto's like, I'm going to do what I want, bitch.
I thought you weren't a fan of Bakugo.
Bakugo's a nutcase.
I will say I like Mitsuki. He's pretty funny in his like weird, disconnected way.
Right.
He's doing that, I don't understand your customs or sayings thing.
Yeah.
Well, he
doesn't.
Look
at my stretchy arms.
He is obviously some kind of weird Orochimaru science experiment.
That's how Luffy delivers the mail. He extends his arm and unnecessarily adds a few curls in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's your mail.
Like, I'm kind of remembering that one scene from One Piece when they're at Fishman Island and Nami gets the new compass that's got the three things on it, and they're like, the one that, you know, goes back and that's the twitchiest, that's the most dangerous one. And then Luffy's neck wraps around her body as he looks on. He's like, ooh, that one looks so dangerous. And she's like, no, don't look.
No!
It's like pure nightmare fuel, but it's hilarious.
Caleb, what stuck out to you in this episode?
I'm trying to remember. What happened again?
I'm sorry.
Mail.
Yeah, they were mailmen today.
It was like, it's a unpaid internship day.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys get to do mail. They chose mail because they can run around the entire town and look for dudes who have ghosts. That was this episode of Boruto.
Well, okay, one thing did happen, though. At the very end, they ran into the class rep, and she's been, like, knocked out or something.
Dun, right. Dun, dun!
Dun! It's the ghost. Or someone accidentally knocked into her.
How'd you get punched out by a ghost?
It's not a ghost. That's his stupid name for it.
It's a ghost!
It's a ghost! They're going to need their proton packs and the capture device and the ghost vault.
Get the Poltergust 3000. Yeah, anyway, Boruto, everyone's second least favorite show. Right?
I don't know. I'm kind of...
Oh, no way. I mean, no. There are two worst shows on this block for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Black Clover.
Well, no, I mean, it's kind of like, I feel like Boruto's getting a little bit better every episode.
Yeah, I don't even like saying I don't like it or that it's bad. I think it's all right. I mean, like, I think as far as the show goes, to me, it's mildly entertaining enough that I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to see what happens next. Sure.
Yeah.
It's all stuck in a little bit of that after school special mode.
A little bit.
Where it's like, don't slack off on your job.
Yeah.
It's juvenile, but like, it's also colorful, and I agree with B-Dubs that the characters are fun.
Like, everyone's got their own thing, but everyone's also kind of fucked up in some way. And, you know, it's just this really interesting thing where it's like, yeah, they could make this show way better than it is. Like, I think there's a lot of potential here, and I think it's getting better each time.
Oh, you know, I did remember something else, too, that there was the scene where Boruto got home and Hinata was there all pissed off.
It's like, welp, you're dead.
Yeah. I'm not used to seeing her all pissed off. It was interesting.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen her pissed off.
Yeah, because normally she's so happy.
Anyway, let's talk about Dragon Ball Super.
We've opened the door to Dragon Ball Super.
Dragon Ball Super Episode 90, Staring Down the Wall to Be Overcome, Goku versus Gohan. In this episode, I was reading an article. I didn't really see anything.
Aw, that kind of sucks, because this is basically the best of the pre-tournament episodes.
Well, it was mostly just a big fight, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Dragon Ball. What do you want?
It was basically the Gohan Blanco shows off his power episode.
Yeah, it was it was essentially to credibly establish that Gohan is now Super Saiyan Blue level.
Without actually turning his power on or whatever.
Yeah, or his hair. It's basically like Gohan doesn't go Super Saiyan Blue, but he's just as strong and it doesn't really make a difference.
Also, he hates Tien.
Oh, Tien really, really did something. Tien owes him money, or like he hit on Videl once and Gohan still hasn't forgiven him. Like, Tien did something to him. I don't know what it was, but it was horrible.
Caleb, what did Tien do to Gohan?
Something so bad that he hit him straight into the mountain and split it in half.
He split the mountain in half.
Tien's like, oh, I just have to show up.
Yeah.
But wait, is Tien really on the team?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, Gohan basically used him as a punching bag. Like, the first time Tien lost every lunch he's had for the last 3 weeks, you know, because he hit him with the gut punch.
I thought when Tien got destroyed in this episode, they were going to vote him off.
No, he's still there. Oh. Who else are they going to get? Yamcha? Like, Yamcha couldn't even take one of those punches Gohan gave.
Oh, you know, that does remind me, though. One thing that was newsworthy this week was they had all new bumps for the whole block.
Yeah.
And one of them was, like, Yamcha on stage.
Oh.
It's like, they know. They know.
They know. I mean, Yamcha gets dunked on so hard in the coming episodes. It's not even, like, it actually stops being funny and starts being a little sad.
They asked Tien.
It gets worse.
You know, Tien really hasn't had a power-up, has he?
No.
Well, apparently he could always just grow two more arms, so.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, for everyone to be in the Tournament of Power, they've had some kind of level-up, except for him.
Let's just say he's been keeping up with his training, and he's still roughly... Comparatively, he's still the same, you know.
Like, he's stronger than he was against Cell, but
he's exactly
still...
as weak compared to them as he was before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, he's still got the whole I turn triangles into squares bullshit going on with his tri-beam cannon that actually is a square.
He might be able to do that to someone in the tournament and then die.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't expect a lot. But, Gohan beat his ass like he owed him money. and he fired, like, the world's comically smallest laser blast at him in order to, you know, fuck with him. And it's like, oh, no, this giant explosion of power has blinded me. And it was, like, molecular-sized.
The whole thing with Gohan, to me, reads like some kind of note from a producer who's like, Gohan has been way too freaking nerdy and dorky in Super so far. We need to get him back to the way he used to be during Boo. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this moment where he changes. And like at the end of this episode, he is nothing like the Gohan that we saw earlier this season.
Yeah, he's totally fucking badass.
Not only is he like back to being completely super buff and like just straight up angry.
He's back to going up to Mr. Satan and saying, "Your daughter calls me daddy too."
You know, he even looked like Vegeta, like with his hair, slicked back and stuff.
Well, it's because of the whole bang thing. They got apparently that's his transformation now. Is he grows the bang? Like whenever he goes full power, the bang is there, and it's like yes.
I thought it was Gohan Blanco.
No, that's later. Oh, poor Gohan. No, but apparently there was an interview with the producers of Super, and they were talking to Toriyama about the arc, and they kind of remember that, oh, wait, Gohan is this ridiculously strong dude, and they basically say to him, like, you know, we'd kind of like to use him a little more going forward. Could, you know, you maybe write him into the show again, and, you know, so we could get some use out of him.
And so my theory was 100% true?
Apparently, yeah. Oh. They went to Toriyama. They're like, we kind of want to, you know, like, do a little bit of a Goku Gohan arc for a little bit. And, you know, he kind of needs to get back to where he was to do it. And Toriyama's like, well, we got this big tournament coming up. So, you know, we'll just beef him up.
He got motivated again.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, real talk. He went from Super Saiyan 2 to Super Saiyan Blue in, like, what, 6 hours?
Oh, is he actually, like, comparative to Super Saiyan Blue now?
Yeah. That's the whole point of the episode, is, like...
That doesn't even make sense.
Well, he is.
Are you exaggerating? Because how could he be as strong as a god?
Well, he is. I mean, that's the...
Just accept it, Dragon Ball!
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that... You know, he's all the way up there now. He's right up there with Goku. And even Vegeta, during the whole fight, he's smiling like, yeah, he's finally started being serious again. And, like, freaking 17 is up there, too. You know, they're basically building sort of, like, this squad of dudes that's essentially Super Saiyan Blue level for the tournament. And as well as sort of the guys just under them, like Piccolo and Tien and Roshi and all that.
Well, okay, so they're all stronger, but the real question is, will they be strong as this new team for this other universe that was just debuted in this episode?
Consisting of Hulk Hogan and the rest of the New World Order.
Yes. That is actually
they all have to like take milk breaks where they drink their milk.
No, that's protein shakes.
Okay, whatever.
Remember that commercial where a bunch of dudes are on the beach, they run over to protein shakes, like, protein, protein, protein. They drink it and they're like, oh, this is so disgusting. And also that other commercial for like Planet Fitness with the two dudes who just say,
protein.
Pick things up and put things down.
Yeah, that's basically these guys.
That's these dudes.
I mean, like, these guys are just going to get wrecked so badly. I know.
Wait, what universe are they from?
8.
They're
off to. 10.
Wait, is it 8 or 10?
10.
I think it's 10.
Okay. Yeah, it's the universe where what's his face was from in the last arc.
Zamasu.
Yeah, Zamasu. Yeah.
Poor Goasu.
Yeah, all he wants to do is be a god tube star, and this shit keeps happening to him.
And now his life rests with
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
It's like this universe's version of the Body Improvement Club, basically.
Except they're worse in every single way.
It's this dude. It's this Hulk Hogan dude and the Body Improvement Club.
Except the Body Improvement Club was like fucking awesome. Like you could put those guys to the Pillar Men theme and it works.
You know, these guys are so important. They get very unique designs. All black robes and
they're so amazing. We have to hide them.
Yeah.
We totally can not think of them yet.
Yeah. I guarantee what's going to happen with these poor bastards. I don't even remember what happens to them, but they're probably going to like die to some shockwave or something. But like someone's going to power up and they're all going to go flying off stage. Like
the second Goku goes Super Saiyan Blue, they're going to be like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
But that can't happen because that universe was not one of the two weakest ones, so.
Well, I mean, they don't have the lowest mortal level. Like, we don't know that that's just power level.
They just got the worst people.
Yeah.
Are these guys the 10 that they're going to use?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're screwed.
No shit.
No, nobody told Goasu that wrestling was fake.
It's real to me, brother.
He's going to work himself into a shoot.
Anyway, should we talk about Mob Psycho? No?
Somebody else say yes. I'm always the one.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mob Psycho. If everyone is not special, maybe you can't be what you want to be. To let you land the good, the end, you too can't.
Bomb Psycho 100 Episode 6, Discord, to become one. Ah, that's actually a good motto for Discord.
It is.
They should use that. Anyway, in this episode, Mob's brother, and I swear to God, I realized I don't know his actual name.
I don't either.
I can't remember.
Did you have it, Caleb?
No, I can't remember.
It's probably is it like Shin?
Here, I'll tell you. I've got it open here.
It's Ritsu. It's right there.
Ritsu. Right. What the fuck were we thinking?
I was thinking it's Shinjo Kageyama.
No, that's right. Doesn't sound right.
It's Shigeo and Shinjo. Anyway,
yeah,
he's still extremely feeling inadequate because of his complete lack of psychic powers. So he gets roped into the scheme to pin a bunch of recorder thefts on Josuke.
Yeah.
Well, he gets president who was apparently really bad at school and also lives in trash.
Yeah.
Well, he gets inducted into the true superpowered psychic society in this show.
Featuring
where everybody has amazing abilities like partially bending a spoon.
Oh, no. My favorite one was the lady. Yeah, but her success rate is only 62%, which is a D- at best.
Hey, wait. If that's a good success rate from all those cards.
That is a horrible success rate. You could do that at completely random.
No, if you did it at completely random, you'd have like a 15% success rate.
I mean, there would be a stretch statistically where you would like it would even out to like something ridiculously low, but there could easily be a stretch where you have a very high success rate. Because this, you know, like mathematically, you're not always gonna, you know.
Anyway, there's something there, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I mean, these people are garbage. Like, Mob could kill... Yeah, like, Mob could just wreck all of their faces in, like, 10 seconds. Like, Reagan has more psychic powers than most of these guys.
Yeah, so the whole idea is that there's this rich guy who... I guess, you know, it's weird. It's like, in this universe, people just accept that psychic powers are real.
No, not really.
Well, I guess this guy does. It just seems like people are blasé about it. I don't know.
we've literally only met people who care about psychic powers is the thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, anyway, so this rich guy, you know, he knows that psychic powers are real, and he's trying to create a group to research them or do something with them, and all he can get are people who are like super, super double D tier like psychics who can just barely do anything. And he mistakes Ritsu for Mob.
Oh, mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Reagan is channeling some dude's dad, who is from New Jersey.
He is.
New Jersey.
No, I'm sorry. He is absolutely from Jersey.
So, in the original version of this,
he was born to run, goddammit.
Was he speaking in English?
I think
it's Japanese.
I think he was probably speaking in Japanese, and the line probably would have been, "Man, Dad, your Japanese is super well, considering you're from New Jersey." And then they just kind of didn't think about it here, because it's like, your English is super good. It's like, I'm from New Jersey.
Okay. I could tell there was some kind of language flipping going on here or something.
Like, they didn't, like, it's a thing where they're like, oh, we forgot to acknowledge you're hearing English, but they're technically supposed to be speaking Japanese.
Yeah. That was a great scene, though.
He just, like, gets caught up in, like, I have no idea what I'm doing, so get a fucking job!
Yeah.
Reagan is great.
He's the best.
Mob's also going out with the ESP, the whatever the club.
Haruko. He's going Haruko.
Haruko. Yeah. He's going out there looking for other espers, and he's like, oh man, look at that dude with weird hair.
Well, no, and then he says, then there's a like actual serious moment where he's like, whoa, there's somebody, and it's like an adult.
Yeah, it's with an adult Esper over there.
Yeah, and he's wearing like a big hoodie and you can't see his face.
Right.
That would probably be some shit.
Yeah, that seems like that was like you're supposed to be like, well, wait, this isn't funny. This isn't a joke moment. This is like important.
But yeah, so Ritsu gets pretty mad because he thinks he's doing some dumb bullshit.
Well, he is.
But he actually has some actual psychic powers. Because he throws that spoon and that spoon is fucked.
Yeah, it's all twisted up. And then the other reason we know he has psychic powers is because when he gets home, guess who he sees?
Dimple! Hooray!
He's alive!
Dimple is still in the show, you guys. Isn't that exciting?
Actually, I'm kind of glad.
Yeah,
I like him.
Dimple's a funny character. He's the perfect... Like, the irony is he's the straight man to Mob.
Yeah.
Ritsu does a bad thing in this episode, and like he gets into it, he goes above and beyond. He was just supposed to put like all the recorders in Josuke's desk, but he's like, I'm gonna put them in his bag
because he's smart.
He's good at this.
What are you talking about? I don't remember this.
Yeah, Josuke was like...
he wanted to get rid of Josuke, so to frame him from stealing some girl's recorders.
No. And then Josuke was like, if I really wanted to get off to these recorders, I'd bring them home with me. You think I'm going to do it here? And then, look in his bag. There's more recorders.
Oh, that whole bit. Yeah, you keep saying Josuke, but that's not that character's name.
No,
that's
it's Josuke. No.
It is now Josuke.
I can't remember that character's actual name.
I thought you were joking, and I'm like, did this even happen? You're right. The whole, like, getting framed for being, like, a pervert, that whole scene. Yeah.
It was a little weird. It's like, really? Recorders?
Yeah, and who is this new guy who's, like, a real asshole?
I don't know. He's probably going to stick around for, like, 20 minutes, though.
Like, I love the scene at home where it's like, oh, you can't be like your brother, and his brother's over there looking like the fucking Buddha. It's like, you suck. You're shit.
Like, his brother's the most perfect, is basically the ultimate being. Like, it's whatever that, like, I will become the perfect being meme is from, like, Sonic or whatever. It's like, that's his brother.
Oh, did you see that new poster that just got leaked?
Which one?
With the legs. It's on gaming side, and it's got about 7 million posts in about 15 minutes. So.
Oh, God. Hang on.
It's a meme now. I mean, that is some frightening stuff.
God.
And I'm not talking about the silhouette of the entire character. I'm talking mm-hmm. about this new one that's just him sitting on the Golden Gate Bridge looking at his extremely humanoid legs.
Oh, no, I have not seen that one. Okay.
Oh, God.
Go to gaming.
Oh!
Go to gaming.
Oh! Why? Why? Oh, God. What was
Wait, let me look. Let me look.
It's so bad. And the angle from where the camera has to be. Oh, my God. Where is this camera located? Because I can only think of one place it could be, and oh God, no. No, why?
What is this?
Why are they doing this?
Why would you do that?
Like, it's coming out the same year as Detective Pikachu, and it's so much worse looking.
Oh,
how does Detective Pikachu look better than this?
It straight up looks like those parody Sonic drawings
yes.
where they take, like, a humanoid, like...
Yes. Oh God! I can't
anyway,
stop looking at
thing
it.
To note here is that Josuke's record of perfect attendance is over.
I
thought it was funny that they brought up that this delinquent dude has a perfect attendance record.
Yeah, he's one of those nice guys, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: I distinctly remember this being my least favorite episode of this first season, and it's still amazing.
Oh, it's fun.
This show is real fucking good. Anyway, Megalobox. Megalobox episode 1, Buy or Die. In this episode, welcome back to the exact same near future version of Brazil that Michiko and Hachin was based in.
Pretty much.
Definitely. Yeah. Kind of Brazil.
Well, yep. Just even the like art style looks similar to Michiko Hachin, like the character designs do.
Right.
And then we meet Junk Dog, who's a real good boxer, but he's got to throw
poor.
All these fights because his asshole trainer is in debt. So,
well
that
mean, he,
and the
he's
fact
got
that
no
he's,
money too.
He's also like he's like an unregistered citizen or something.
He's like a mm-hmm. almost like a stateless person.
Yeah. So he can't they announce this big upcoming event called the Megalonia boxing match thing.
By the way, the soundtrack in the show is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can already tell.
I'm like digging this so far.
The whole Shiruto thematic of just the violin string dun 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 dun. It's so good.
Yep.
Anyway,
I really like this episode. I mean, I'm not sure how good this series will be, but like I thought this episode was pretty good. I was into it much more than I am. I'm not a sports guy. I don't really care about sports. Like the Rocky movies are good movies, I guess, but like I don't care about the boxing. And I thought like this does a pretty good job of like making me into the characters. And yeah, Junk Dog's kind of one note so far. He's just, you know,
I really
that kind of character,
boxed,
but
for
it's
real.
Fine. And I like this new, like the rival to him, this big, tall, gray haired guy.
I must break you.
Yeah, basically.
Yep. He even has a Russian name.
I will break you.
And then I like that, like the head of the corporation, this woman, you know, she's real off-putting to him. And I don't know, it's just this. It's a kind of a neat setup. You know, he's going to be the underdog, literally.
Literally, yeah. Here's this huge big boxing tournament called Megalonia. Huge by huge, I mean literally four people. Here's one of them already.
Well, what I was going to say though was that like. Technically, Junk Dog can't join this mm-hmm. tournament because he's not a part of society. He's like an outcast.
He doesn't have his voter ID.
Right.
She, like Yukiko's like that. There is no limitation to age. Blah 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 blah. And it's like,
but you need an ID.
Reporter's like, so there's really no limitation here. It's like, yes, it's open to all citizens.
Citizens.
God damn it. That's a limitation.
Huh? What? Anyway, so yeah. Junk Dog and his trainer. This dude. Kind of a scumbag.
Yeah. Not really
not
redeemable.
Cool.
I don't... Maybe he will be, but...
Well, they're going to damn well
we'll
try.
They'll try.
So let's talk about the whole thing with the boxing in this show, where everyone boxes with, let's just call them cybernetic arms.
Yeah. But like they add in like Iron Man stuff to their arms and now they punch real hard.
They got motors on the back that make your arms punch real fast, but I guess not hard because apparently this is apparently
it's not lethal.
Immediately die.
Yeah, I'm like, how do they not, like, how does a clean hit on a guy's face not, like, completely obliterate his jaw?
The show, I'm going to spoil. Sorry, go ahead, Caleb.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Oh. Like, the show doesn't really justify why this would be a thing. Well,
because it's cool.
Yeah, it is
cool. Robot arms, and then
it's definitely cool.
So, boxing's already dangerous. I'm assuming the robot arms are there because they can punch faster and harder. But wouldn't that make it more dangerous? It's like,
I guess we're just supposed to. I guess the conceit is that, like, oh well, this is a new level of boxing, and the people who can do this must be really tough.
No,
yeah, no.
Any old dipshit can megalobox.
Any old dipshit.
All right, so it's just to look cool, but whatever. And so, like, the champ has got, like, super crazy, basically Jack's arms from Mortal Kombat. And Junk Dog, who, by the way, is J-N-K Dog, is his, how you spell his name. I saw it on the, like, screen in the background.
Yeah.
Good job shortening that. You cut out a letter.
Anyway, so he just has like a very basic frame with some like pipes and tubing and stuff, and that's about it.
But he's really good at boxing, we must say.
Obviously.
Really good.
So good that when he, right as he's about to get punched by Drago, like time stops.
No, that's just the rain. Episode.
Huh? Yeah, the episode ends.
Yeah.
No, he's so good that that one dude he has to take the fall to in the first half of the episode, he could have just one-shot that guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy could have died in, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to see him, like, because they pretty much end the episode with him and
the champ.
The champ basically are about to begin their unannounced fight. And so I'm looking forward to everybody who assumes that Junk Dog is going to die, him being, like, good. Now, he might get beat this first round, but you just know he's the protagonist, so he's going to, like, show everybody up at some point. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. He also likes going motorcycling down closed roads at night in the rain. He's going to die in a motorcycle accident.
Probably.
Yeah, well, nobody said he was smart.
I also like Megalonia. It's going to happen. And now we're just starting to build the stadium. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. You have to build the stadium.
Right. Like when he's riding in the motorcycle, it kind of reminds me from that one guy from Ippo who's like, he rides the motorcycle and then he crashes and he like almost dies and stuff.
I'm not describing it well. I haven't seen Ippo.
No, I don't think they have they did adapt that fight.
I don't remember.
Which one it is.
So, should we talk about JoJo?
Yes.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, Episode 15. Let's go to the manga artist's house, Part 2. In this episode, Koichi really doesn't know why he's going into the manga artist's house, but he's going through the front door, walking up the stairs. Still doesn't know why he's here. In the manga artist's room. And then, oh shit, now I remember. Fuck!
By the time he remembered, he freaked out.
I love the whole sequence with the front door where he's like walking out. Hey, Josuke, everything's fine. No problem here. Have a good day. Walks back inside. Fuck! Walks back
Why
out.
Why did I do that?
Have a good day. So good. And then, of course, he somehow cut his hand super bad. It's bleeding all over the place, but nobody noticed.
Yeah.
except Josuke, and somehow Okuyasu noticed it.
Who knows?
Anyway, they go up into Rohan's room, and Okuyasu gets manga'd.
Yep.
But not before Rohan demonstrates how amazing that Hirohiko Araki, I mean, Kishibe Rohan is at drawing manga. Isn't he so cool? Look, he starts with a pen.
He does.
He literally just flicks his pen and the droplets of ink cover in entire black spaces.
It's because he's awesome.
You know what? The whole scene, all I could think about was that this character exists as Araki's personal power fantasy.
He claims that it's not that, but...
it's that.
Was it like a compilation song where you draw him and Rohan hugging each other really close?
Oh, Kishimoto, I love it when you draw me. So yeah, Rohan's kind of a dick. So then he writes into Koichi and Okuyasu that, hey, if Josuke fucks around with me, you're going to light yourselves on fire.
And Josuke's like, well, I'm going to do it. So he starts lighting himself on fire.
So why not?
And Josuke enters the longest room. I love the part where Rohan starts to think, and then it's like, all right, time. Literally 0.02 of a second for him to think about this thing. They put it on screen because they know it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, the little clock appears in the corner, yeah. I swear, I still think that's all part of his power fantasy. He's like, look how good this manga artist is. He can paint an entire page in 1 millisecond, and he can think up a new idea in 0.2 seconds.
Yep.
And then he gets punched in the face.
Oh yeah, and the what is his Achilles heel? Is that when Josuke gets so mad about someone talking about his hair, he literally cannot see. He's so mad. Literally blinded by rage.
Sure. That's bullshit, but I'll believe it.
Oh yes.
That the timing on that, I've won.
So I assume Rohan is just going to end up being another good guy.
Yes.
Because in this show, unlike in the previous season, more so than ever, in this season, every terrible villain is immediately part of the good guy team.
And I'm going to say this outright. Rohan's like part of the main cast.
Seriously?
Seriously. He gets like a lot of fights in the second half.
Okay.
He reminds me a lot of, well, not really a lot, I guess, but he reminds me a bit of Yusuke from Persona 5.
God.
Just the weird artist guy. Yeah.
Well, like, he looks kind of the same, too.
Yeah, he talks the same way, too.
If Matt Mercer hadn't already been Jotaro, they could have definitely put him in for to do his Yusuke voice. Yeah. Also, Matt Mercer was in Smash.
He was.
Smash trailer. Good job, Matt.
Yep.
He was probably already in Smash. I noticed Travis Willingham's name was in there in the credits that you shoot.
Mm-hmm. You know what I never knew is that the guy who voices Joker, he's the announcer for Smash.
Mm-hmm. He is.
That's just going whenever you select Joker, the announcer just rips off his mask and is like, it's me!
It was me the whole time.
Anyway, JoJo. Yeah, he... Rohan is defeated by the power of blind rage, and we get backstory about why is he really into his hair? Well, it turns out back when Jotaro and everyone else was off to fight Dio, he was also having his own stand fever, and he was stuck in the car in the snow with his mom, and then a dude who he would later copy exactly the look of. This is important. Josuke copied this guy. This guy does not look like Josuke. These are two things that are completely different, okay?
It was Josuke, wasn't it?
No, it is not. P- Period. End of story. I'm not. This is a spoiler. I'm spoiling this for you. It's not him.
It's totally him.
No, I'm not. Dude.
Time travel.
Look at my face.
I can't see your face. Imagine
my face.
You can say that all you want, but I can't not believe it's.
Yeah,
I have to believe it.
I'm not trying to set you up here. I swear to God.
I believe you. I believe that that's what you're trying to do, I probably believe that this is true. But if it is, this is such a. This has to be deliberately misleading us.
Yeah.
Like, sure. They maybe had intended to do something with this.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Right.
There's a fight later on that could have happened, but it didn't.
They could have.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense.
You've been trained to expect the twist.
I could understand a guy who looks almost identical to Josuke helping push the car and save his life at this moment.
Here's the thing. The thing is, you're like, you've got the times. He's like, you knew Josuke first, so you know this guy as guy who looks like Josuke. When in reality, it should be Josuke looks like this
fine.
Guy.
Let me rephrase this. Hear me out. A person who Josuke mirrors himself after appears and saves his life when he's a kid. Well, why was this guy's mouth bleeding as if he had literally just been punched by a stand?
There are many, many other reasons why your mouth would be bleeding.
In the middle of a snowstorm.
Because he was literally just punched by a stand.
I get that that's literally what happened, that this guy just stumbles out of nowhere and we never see him again.
This guy just crashed his motorcycle in the storm or was in a fight or something like that.
But it is
he
so...
He was probably an actual delinquent.
It has to be, like you said, it has to be a story thread that was supposed to be planted and never followed up on.
Because
it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Because there's just, like, why would this guy who's literally bleeding take time to go and push a car?
I think that's just kind of Jojo being Jojo. Like, this dude was such a good guy. He was injured himself. But he went out of his way to help these dudes. And so Josuke, to honor him, decided to dress exactly like this dude.
And then, like, but you don't have to give him a bloody nose. Like, you didn't have... It's whatever.
It's to point out that he's...
It's weird.
He's super in a bad way. He's very altruistic here.
It's like so much so that it's like, I need to pattern my life after this guy.
The thing is, this is the perfect setup for a twist.
Yeah.
But it definitely could have been set up for that, but there's no reason to assume that it was.
All right. Well, anyway, so that happened.
This is the exact kind of ridiculous JoJo backstory.
How old was Josuke in this car?
He was like six. No, he was like four. I think they said he was four.
If he was four, he's got an incredibly good memory.
He does.
Well, it probably was told by his mom, at least.
Well, I guess that could be, yeah. I saw a guy in my rearview mirror who wore this kind of jacket that had this kind of pin.
All she has to describe, all she has to do is like, he looked exactly like Josuke does now.
What? That's not how time works.
Never mind. No. What do you mean? Like, she wouldn't have been able to describe this dude?
Well, just the way you said it was confusing. But, like, it was just, like, very, like, specific. Like, he even had the buttons. Like, he had, I don't know if it was one of the, like, peace sign symbols, but he definitely had some kind of button on his lapel. It's just, like, so precisely exactly the same look. Anyway, this is a rabbit hole. Whatever.
Yeah. So, this episode's fun. I like when he punches the bad guy.
You mean the good guy?
A lot. The bad guy who's going to be a good guy. The misunderstood guy.
Oh, we did get the new opening.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to talk about this opening. This opening has really good visuals, and it's another one of those openings where if you knew what to look for, you'd find it spoiling the entire show. But I don't know this song, man.
I think the song's okay. I listened to it a couple more times. I'm like, it's all right. The first half's not that good, but the second half's good.
It's just butt rock.
Yeah. You know what's not doing any favors? Top 5 is out, and it has a way better OP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part 5 is killer.
The first time I heard Part 5's OP, I was like, ah, oh, this is pretty good. Now I'm just like, fighting gold!
honestly, the Part 5 ending is amazing.
Don't let Charlie say that.
They also updated the ending for Part 4 as well, because now it shows like more characters.
Yeah. By the way, this is the ending for Part 4. They keep it the entire time.
Okay. No, so, but I thought the opening was all right. And I know what you mean, though, because like there's other characters shown in this opening we haven't seen yet.
And a bunch of symbolism that will soon become obvious. But yeah, love the visuals. This is not a JoJo song, OP song. It's just not the right style. Anyway, right. Black Clover. Black Clover, episode 49, Beyond Limits of Our Patience.
Thank God Yami showed up. Yami showed up, said what we were all thinking, and then finally put an end to the arc.
And just fucked this dude up.
Yeah. Like, he showed up, he's like, man, all you guys suck. And then he went and one-shot the guy. And I'm just like, thank you, God. He's the avatar of our deliverance.
There was some pretty good animation in this episode. I have to point it out, if only because last week was by far the worst thing I'd seen in a long time.
There were some good cuts.
Who is it that always says, is it Seda or I forget, Zonic? Somebody who always says when they see squares.
It's good because you can see squares.
Yeah, when you start seeing squares get animated when the Earth blows up, then you know it's, you know, some sakuga is happening. Yeah. And there was some of that in this episode.
Yeah. You know it's good when there are squares, no matter what else anything else looks like.
There's some squares and it's good.
I saw squares. It was good animation.
Now, joking aside, it actually looked pretty good, and it's nice to know that this stupid beast dork is finally defeated.
Oh man!
Time.
Veto sucks.
Despair, literally, all these guys were like, "Oh, we have to all team up and fight him!" And oh my god! And then Yami shows up. Meanwhile, the guy's going like super rage mode. He's more powerful than anything they've ever seen. Yami's like, "I got this," and then he fucking one shots the guy. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like. What, they couldn't have busted his ass out earlier?
Look, he wasn't motivated enough.
That's the worst part of the episode, is that he could have left at any time.
I know.
Yami got a bullshit power-up so he can do anything.
Yeah. No, and you know the worst part of the bullshit power-up? He stole it from Kuwabara. He stole Kuwabara's move.
Which is basically slice somebody into another dimension.
Slicing through the dimensions.
Zoro probably has this type of technique by the end of One Piece, right?
I mean, it depends on how crazy the power-ups are going to get.
It's One Piece.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Well, I mean, there are limits to what we've seen. Like, they haven't gone into, like, alternate dimension bullshit yet.
Oh, hey, here's some newsflash for a character we love. Absalom might be dead.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah, he is. He's totally
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, no, he's 100%. Oh. They killed his ass.
Yeah, sorry, One Piece readers. If you haven't read the chapter, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's from like 3 weeks ago.
Oh no, you were on the edge of your seat waiting to see what happened to Absalom.
Yeah,
I'm actually surprised they did that because I think he is pretty universally hated, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody likes Absalom.
No, nobody likes him. They basically took his power, and now one of Blackbeard's lieutenants has it.
Yeah, the sword dude now can turn invisible. That'll be a cool fight.
If somebody has their devil fruit power taken, I think it pretty much means they're dead.
Yeah.
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 There's no reason for them to, like, fake you out with the death of Absalom.
Right.
Yeah, like he's not coming back. Who cares?
So anyway, back to Black Clover.
Wait, Moria's probably dead now, too.
He was still standing at the end of the episode.
Like they didn't just kill him.
Or chapter or whatever. No, yeah. He was being invited. Well, anyway, we're spoiling One Piece. Well, anyway,
it's better than this.
Well, I have a question for you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
So, who's the girl with the blue hair?
I have no fucking idea.
We are going to
educate you so that you stop asking this question.
Seriously, who the fuck is that?
Okay, remember the big giant guy who all he ever did was go shoo, and then smoke would come out his mouth?
No. Where is he? Where did he come from?
Literally every time, every single the Black Bulls did their whole here we are again. Here's our thing.
My brain must have glazed over him. So a big guy that goes shoo and smoke comes out. Is actually just a little girl.
Yes.
Yeah. She's shy.
That's her real form, is this girl.
This is such dumb bullshit.
And you probably forgot this, but like the whole beginning of this arc, she kept changing into other characters. So there would be like two Astas for a while. Remember that?
Right. Okay. No, I don't remember that two Astas. I remember the Shadow Clone bullshit.
That's her.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to forget this in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered. It's fucking Black Clover. Kill me now.
Well, so they basically defeat Veto and Fishman Island is saved, and we'll see what happens next, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, remember the sad backstory?
Oh, yeah, they gave Veto a freaking backstory.
What the fuck were they? I don't even remember that. Like, I literally stopped paying attention until Yami showed up. I'm like, thank God it's over.
His backstory is like, oh, this bird.
Well, they gave that one dude, because they were like kids.
Yeah.
And they gave that other dude, like, a girl's voice.
Why?
I legit thought it was his mom for a second.
I didn't even know who it was until they said the name, and I'm like, oh, what?
Man, I don't remember the name. Where he's just saying despair over and over again. Like, Monokuma's coming in like, dude, get over it. Let's talk about Hunter x Hunter, an actual good show.
Yeah, yes, please.
Hunter x Hunter episode 122, Pose and Name. In this episode, shit is about to go down.
Yep.
It almost kind of does, actually.
I mean, you get to see Netero's Nen power, which is
just the fucking Buddha is here to wreck your shit.
Yeah, the fucking Buddha has like light speed attacks that make giant holes in the ground because it's just that powerful. And keep in mind, he's supposed to be in his decline right now. Like, he's nowhere near his peak.
Yeah.
Like, this is Netero, like, yeah, I've gotten old. I'm not as strong as I used to be. Maybe in my prom I could have done it.
To the king's credit, he takes it.
I mean, he draws...
And shrugs Netero, it off a bit.
Netero does draw blood with that first attack.
Yeah. And there was a shot in this episode of the king looking pretty freaked out, which was surprising.
Yeah, I legitimately don't think he expected Netero to be quite that strong. I think he expected something, but not that.
And then the king starts doing his Nen stuff, and Netero's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Netero didn't expect the king to be that strong either.
Oh, yeah, the announcer's like, and Netero jumped back twice as far as he would have ever done before.
Yeah, and Netero's like, oh, fucking hell. The thing that sort of stands out to me in this episode is that when the king is talking to Netero and he's like, I'll spare you. And Netero's like, but you won't spare everyone else, right? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. I'm like, that would have been unthinkable like before Komugi. I'm like, another week with her and maybe they could have solved all this without, you know, having to have this fight.
I think no matter what. The king is... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, Tuban, Netero doesn't have a weak... And he's been, forced to do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't have the time, because, you know, the king is about to go all genocide on an entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I don't think, I'm not sure if the king could ever get to a level where he could be convinced not to rule the world.
Right.
And that's ultimately the problem. Even if he decided to save humanity's life without killing them, he'd still want to rule them all.
Right.
And that's not something humanity's going to do, is just step down and give up.
He's too much of definitely not Kim Jong-un to not kill a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if they could maybe convince him, hey, can you stop with this country maybe? And, you know, you can rule it and it'll be cool and all and whatever. Like, I think another month and maybe they could have done that.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I mean, we finally get to see Netero go up, you know, a little bit go up against the king. It wasn't really a full-on fight. It was just them sort of feeling each other out as far as, like, their power levels and stuff. And it was very impressive. It's very cool.
It's a pretty big gap, like, though.
The whole line where Netero is like, you know, he's just like, hey, we both got problems.
Yeah. Like, neither one of them really wants to do this, but they got to do this.
And yeah, that's the episode.
Well, no, remember, the world is like, we need you to genocide the ants, and then we're going to blame you for it. And Netero's kind of like, yeah, all right, you're going to pay us, though, right? And they're like, we got you.
There was also a scene where Poof runs into Yuppie.
Yeah.
And it's like, Yuppie has now got a conscience.
Yeah, that was interesting. I'm like, he went from basically a mindless killing machine to what is essentially a bro. Weird.
I love the contrast between all the Royal Guard.
Yeah. Love it. If only we had a couple more weeks and shit could go down this year.
Hey, good news. It's going to go down next year. I mean,
I know.
JoJo starts next year on the perfect episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, this fight going to be good.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those that's just up there. Oh my God. You know, how it ends.
Here's a thought I had about Hunter x Hunter that I hadn't considered until I saw this episode. I think this is the only show where the fights are super drawn out, but I don't mind it.
I think it's because they're not like the centerpiece of the show. Like with Dragon Ball, it's like you're basically on a train from fight to fight, and the story is just kind of there to justify it.
I think it's that and the fact that the fights are done in a way that kind of subverts expectations a bit, where there are twists and things that happen that you're like, you don't necessarily see coming, and it's not just a boxing match. Like, every move is tactical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of like watching this one, the king is almost the good guy here. Like, he's obviously the bad guy, but, you know, he's very much the nonviolent one trying to avoid the needless bloodshed.
Yeah, all of the ants are obviously morally gray, some more than, some less than others.
No,
but like, Poof's pure an asshole.
Well, I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, Poof doesn't have that kind of, like, he's just a huge dick.
Poof is actually a bad person.
Probably the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, but like Yuppie and Pito, like Yuppie especially, but Pito even to some small degree is kind of like not just an evil character.
Right.
I mean, I guess Pito's kind of evil, but like, I don't know. It's just not so black and white. These characters got some depth to them for being.
Pito is not acting out of malice.
Yeah,
kind of animalistic.
Yeah, like Pitu's just doing what Pitu needs to do.
But like, there's enough going on where you're like, I'm almost like not. I almost feel bad for Pitu a little bit.
Yeah,
because of the situation she's in, like the whole idea where like Yuppie's gonna mess this up for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
like she went through all this effort to make sure that nothing screws this up, and then he shows up, is like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck this shit up. And Gon is there like, try it. I dare you. Like,
but the king especially
wants someone to try.
The king is like so unbelievably evil, and yet here he is in this episode being like, hey, let's just talk.
Yeah, he's. I mean, the thing is, like, hanging out with Komu, he's kind of like lessened the evil a bit. I feel like he's like when it started, he looked at humans as like, you know, oh, this is my next meal type thing. And now he's like, yeah, there's value in some of you. You know, you're not all.
Yeah, he said as much in this episode. He's like, I've learned since then that there are humans that don't need to die or shouldn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's grown as a person, and it's interesting to see, because normally that kind of character, or a character in his position, that doesn't happen. I am very much looking forward to seeing how they handle the end of the arc.
Next year, man.
Oh, man. That is going to be my moment of the year. I'm telling you right now, I don't think anything's going to beat it.
I think there's going to be some stuff next year that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, if they don't fuck this one up, it's going to be up there.
Well, anyway, does anyone else have anything left about Toonami this week?
Still crazy we're getting a fucking Blade Runner anime. I know we talked about it, but it's still crazy.
A shitty 3D animated Blade Runner anime.
Hey, if it's good, it's good. As long as it's not like, you know, Berserk 2.0 or some bullshit.
There's nothing that's going to be like Berserk.
You have to try to be that bad.
Yeah. Like SAO3.
Well, that'll about do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, Caliph.
Sorry.
What?
You didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have literally been able to hear crickets in the background of your mic, though, the entire time.
Yeah, I've been wondering, why are there crickets?
I have to get some better network.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 132 and the last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm halfway to 26.
Oh god, I'm almost 29.
Oh fuck. Stop time. The world.
It needs to stop turning.
Okay. See you guys later. Good night.
Later.